Again, let me welcome everybody in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I'd like for each of you to say your silent prayer for Jerry as he comes before us today to break the bread of life, that the Lord would put the words in his mouth to speak to us, and that he would open our ears to hear, and that each of us would profit by the things which we learn. And thus I give you my brother and my brother, Elder Jerry Cable.
Thank you, Benny. And I appreciate the request for prayers. I really feel the need as I present myself before you and before my loving Savior today, that he would bless me in his service, and that he would, by the power of his Holy Spirit, that he would carry the message to each of us that would be mixed with faith, and that we'd be able to apply it to our lives. Actually, as my main text today, I'd like to open to the book of Moroni and chapter 6. And I'm going to probably talk all around that chapter today. And I also have an overall theme of thanksgiving. Tuesday evening, Debbie and I were talking during our Church of Christ open house teleconference or whatever on Tuesday evening. Debbie and I were talking, and she said something that kind of planted a seed for me, got me to thinking on just how grateful I am for what the Lord has given us, both by the way of the atonement of his Son and by way of the church, the bringing together of each of us, his servants here on earth, giving us this avenue to be together and to support one another. So, I had thought to start reading out of the sixth chapter of Moroni and begin to talk towards actually what it is we have been given here on earth by the way of Christ's church. And I'm going to start reading with the first verse. It says, "And now I speak concerning baptism. Behold, elders, priests, and teachers were baptized, and they were not baptized, save they brought forth fruit, meat, that they were worthy of it. Neither did they receive any unto baptism, save they came with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and witnessed unto the church that they truly repented of all their sins. And none were received unto baptism, save they took upon them the name of Christ, having a determination to serve him to the end. And after that they had been received unto baptism, and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ." And I want to stop there for a moment and just consider the things that were listed there as we start that reading. Because if you think about it, this is a common experience that each of us has individually. Each of these things that are listed, that we brought forth fruit, meat, that we were worthy to be baptized. We came forth with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Witnessed unto the church that we were truly, that we had truly repented of all of our sins and took upon ourselves the name of Christ. and therefore we were received into baptism, and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I think of such a powerful list of experiences that we each individually have gone through. And this is a common group of experiences that each of us have gone through, and we can share with one another. And it kind of helps unite us under Christ, having gone through these things. And then we're numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. Let me go on reading there with verse 5. And their names were taken, that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, and to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and the finisher of their faith. And I think of how important those first few words of that verse are. And I would remind each of us that the reason our names were taken, the reason that's done, is that none of us be forgotten. We are not forgotten. And we are on this phone call because many of us are scattered. In a way, we are in the wilderness, scattered across this country. And yet, let me emphasize that we are not forgotten, that we are part of this Church of Christ, and that as servants, we are in servitude within that Church of Christ and under Christ. We are His servants. And I thought, you know, as Debbie and I were talking Tuesday evening, we had talked about a number of things, and we were praying for each other and praying for others that we had discussed. And I can't remember exactly what Debbie had said. It was something like, that's what we do. Of course, that's what we do. And so I'm going to reread that fifth verse again. And their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who is the author and the finisher of their faith. And now, let me turn over. I think I'll turn over to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And actually, I'm going to start reading with the 12th verse of that 12th chapter. The 1 Corinthians says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And I wanted to address that first. I wanted to read about the fact that we are one body, the body of Christ. And we have differences. We have different talents. But we are one body, the body of Christ. And if any of us has reason to suffer, we all suffer with one another. If one of us has reason to rejoice, we all rejoice together under Christ. And let me read some more about the different talents or the different spiritual gifts. I'm going to back up now and start with the first verse of that 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye are Gentiles, that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diverse gifts, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit of the Word, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And I think about, that strikes me, all these things that we've been given since the Lord pulls us together, that draws us together in this gift that we call, that he calls, the Church of Christ, the Church of his Son. And I think sometimes we feel a little separate being on this call, being scattered across the U.S., feel a little different. We don't get to be in a place so often where we get to see each other face to face. But I would encourage you not to feel so differently, to hang on. I'd encourage you to understand that you're not just a member of a telephone call. You're a member of the Church of Christ, and that it's the big picture. It's not just the people that are on the call. It's the missionaries that are going around and nourishing you. It's the prayers that are being lifted up in the different locals, in all the different places that we reside. As we learn of the concerns we have one for another, we lift each other up in prayer. And we're all part of that whole, that Church of Christ, which is around the world. Let me jump back over to 6th chapter of Moroni. Read verse 6. And the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and wine and in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that on our call, the one thing that's a challenge for us is the sacrament. But the one thing that's not really a challenge for us is to be in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's a gift that comes with being able to get together. It's that constant reminder of who the Lord Jesus Christ is to us. And then those that work together with us, the missionaries that travel around and they visit your homes and they bring you the sacrament. I heard Diana, I heard you, I think, recently talk about after church was over that some of the ministry were going to bring over the sacrament to you.
Uh-huh.
You're not isolated in the same way by distance, but by...
medical condition.
Yeah, by medical things that keep you separate for now, make it hard for you to be in a congregation of people. And so it's just another of the gifts that God gives us by way of His church, church of His Son, the church of Jesus Christ. And I think... Let me jump back over to 1 Corinthians. I'd like to start now with the 27th verse and complete reading this 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians and jump on into the 13th chapter. So I'm going to start reading with the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, 27th verse. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Chapter 15, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass, or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. My phone's gone real silent. Is everyone there?
I'm here.
Checking. Let me resume reading with the third verse here in this 13th chapter of Corinthians. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but when face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. So as we think about the times that we get together, and we meet together for Sunday school, we meet together for church, and part of the time we have sermons like this, the foolishness of preaching, and we share that time together, a common experience. We also get together to have prayer service, to bring up the needs across the church and across the globe. And we pray together for one another. Even as it said here in Moroni, being continually watchful unto prayer and discussing the things, discussing, how's it worded, looking at my notes, getting together to fast and to pray, to speak one with another concerning the welfare of our souls. And now, on Tuesday, we get together, we just have a time, an open forum to just talk to one another and get to know each other better, and then to pray about all the things that we discuss. And I wonder, you know, is this even enough? I would even say to us, I would encourage each of you to, when somebody else is on your heart or on your mind, give them a call. It doesn't have to be Sunday. Call one another. Talk to each other. Get to know each other, and share this charity, this love that the Lord has gifted us with. Pray together. I know that when you're gifted to be able to live close to and participate in a local where you get to share face to face, people don't just go to church and say hi across the room. They're friends. They call each other. They go visit each other. They have meals together. You know, they become friends, and they support one another in their beliefs. They support one another in service to God. And I would encourage you, in any way you can, to do that. Not just the services. And if you need help knowing how to get a hold of somebody, you know, call me. Call my brother Benny, or call Jeff, you know, and we'll help you to know how to get a hold of the other person if you want to. But let's continually speak with one another concerning the welfare of our soul. Let's lift one another up in prayer, and let's be friends, even as God has asked us to behave so that He can call us, each of us, His friends. I'd like to jump over now, actually a little earlier, to the first chapter of Corinthians and the third. No, it's 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, sorry. 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, and this is just to emphasize, you know, the last part of that reading of verse 5, Moroni, chapter 6, where we rely alone upon the merits of Christ, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. So let me start reading 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom we believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watered, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planted and he that watered are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto you, given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so we rely alone upon the merits of Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. I think I'm going to go back and read verse 6 again, and then I'm going to read the balance of that 6th chapter of Moroni. So I've jumped back over to the 6th chapter of Moroni, and I'm going to start reading with verse 6. And the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray, to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were strict to observe that there should be no iniquity among them. And whoso was found to commit iniquity, and three witnesses of the church did condemn them before the elders, and if they repented not and confessed not, their names were blotted out, and they were not numbered among the people of Christ. But as oft as they repented and sought forgiveness with real intent, they were forgiven. And their meetings were conducted by the church after the manner of the workings of the Spirit, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, as the power of the Holy Ghost led them whether to preach or exhort or to pray or to supplicate or to sing, even so it was done. I know sometimes when I read through the scriptures, there's parts of the scriptures that are hard to read. They speak of things that are difficult. And I think that this reading, the verse 7 and 8, they're kind of difficult ones to think about. But under the right circumstances, they become a strength to me. It's not about that we are of a mind to injure one another or to hurt one another or to be insulting or of any ill will. But it is a part of the being part of the Church of Christ is that as brothers and sisters of Christ, we really try to hang on to one another. We try to call out when we see another, when we think that they're starting to drift off of that straight and narrow path and to wander off into the midst of darkness, that we call out and we try to restore one another. We hang on to each other. The truth is, we need each other. To each other, we are, a gift that God has given us. This ability to be together. And so we hang on to that. When I think of spiritual warfare, it reminds me of a dream I had, and this has been several years ago. But in this dream, I was together with my brothers and sisters of the church, and I was in no distress. I didn't see any particular need I had. I was enjoying myself. We were talking together. And suddenly, the enemy was upon us. They were rushing into the place that we were in my dream. And so I wasn't particularly distressed, but I reached for my sword as the battle was upon me. And I wasn't afraid because it was right here. It was right here somewhere. It was there a minute ago. I was sure it was. And I looked and I looked, and I couldn't find it. And my desperation, and as the enemy was actually rushing in among us, I continued to look, and I was trying to look around me for my own protection, my own safety also, and I finally did find it. I found my sword, and when I did find it, it was rusty, and it was damaged, and I guess it's kind of a confession, isn't it? But I took that sword and I flew into battle as the enemy was already on us. And as we worked together and we fought with that sword, which, if you read about that armor, that's the Word of God. We did gain the victory by the power of God. And that's what we do for one another, too, is that we remind one another that we need to stay ready. We need to be prepared. We need to know where the sword of truth is, not just where it is, but we need to keep our hand on it. We need to keep it ever fresh, undamaged, repaired, clean, and ready for when the enemy rushes upon us. As I think of the thing that we call spiritual warfare, there's often things that we can hide from in life. But the nature of spiritual warfare is that there's none of us that can hide. There is no place so hidden. There's no place so far away that spiritual warfare doesn't find us. Recently, I was watching a movie, which reminded me of the scene. Years ago, I was in Washington, D.C., and I visited Arlington National Cemetery, and I was just struck with awe. They looked at those crosses and how they just rolled out across the hills, as far as I could see, in straight lines. And I was filled with gratitude. I think it was actually first penned by Abraham Lincoln to a mother who had lost 5 sons in battle. Where he talked about the magnitude of the sacrifice that had been laid upon the altar of freedom, and it makes me filled with gratitude for those who have fought for me, that I might be able to literally sit down at this table and freely have access to this call and to speak God's word currently without fear. And I owe that debt to many that have fought for that freedom for me. And I owe that debt to a master and savior that laid down his life for me. And I feel grateful. I do feel sad for the necessity that's mine, for the necessity that my human nature required that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ lay down his life for me also. I have a part in that. I do him guilty. And I, in my prayers, I beg his forgiveness, and I tell him that I'm thankful. As we enter into this Thanksgiving season, I want to remind you of those things. I want to remind you to be grateful. Thanksgiving was, if I understand it right, was first celebrated in 1621. The original pilgrims that landed, over half of them had passed away on the trip over and during those first couple years. And Thanksgiving was immediately following the first successful harvest after arriving on this new land, and it was, they said it was in 1621, and it was in Thanksgiving for God's grace to them, bringing them there and presenting them with a successful harvest that year, and that's kind of out of which this tradition has grown. I'd like to jump over to Hebrews now, the third chapter, real quick. And speak actually a little bit more about this spiritual warfare, actually. This is the third chapter of Hebrews. I'm going to start reading with verse 4. It says, "For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, Today, if ye will hear his voice, and harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." And I'm going to go on into chapter 4, verse 1. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed, do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after that same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of a soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him whom we have to do, with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I am before you in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for the atonement that was given for me, that was given for each of us by the Son of God, that his blood cleansed me and give me the opportunity of life eternal. And thanks be to God for his church. The opportunity that he's given us to be together and to admonish one another and encourage one another and lift each other up in prayer, that we not be found wanting in the day when the enemy falls upon us, that we be ready, that we be filled with God's word, that we be filled with God's spirit, that we be filled with that special love, that charity that doesn't fail, and that as brothers and sisters, members of his body, that we work together for his good and for the good of each of us. So I am grateful, and I would just ask of you, as we enter into this Thanksgiving season, what really is the depth of your gratitude? Just how thankful are you, and how will you show it? Think of these things. Is there a way that you can be of more service? Is there a way that you can truly show your gratitude towards your Heavenly Father? So let's continue to cling to one another. Let's continue to cling to God, and let's walk in a way that His Holy Spirit can be our constant companion, that we may enter into his rest, that we may share together in his kingdom, and that eternally. I love each of you, and I ask that you would pray for me, and I will pray for you. Turn it over to you, Benny.
Okay. Yeah, can I have you go ahead and stop the recording?